Welcome to the Best Kept Secrets podcast, where we share our best kept secrets about life, love, God, and everything in between. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Best Kept Secrets podcast. For those of us who are listening, welcome. For everyone who is watching, welcome as well. Today's episode is about love and what's love got to do with it. And our guest today is very special. He is a very talented artist. He's also a CEO and founder of his own company. And he has an album coming out very soon. And on top of that, he happens to be my boyfriend. Welcome, Kagwe Mungai.
Wow, hi.
Insert like Woo. Crowd cheering. Not the ululation.
Yeah, you have to have the ululations.
Yeah,
I don't think I've welcome. Had you say my name in a long time.
I know.
I was almost upset.
That
you called me by my name.
By your name.
Yeah.
I know. Welcome, babe. Yeah, so today's episode is about love and what's love got to do with it. And we'll be sharing our journeys in love and heartbreak and just everything that comes with love, basically. But we're going to start with Kagwe.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi. It sounds so weird calling me Sharon. Like, I'm like, who is that? That's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so tell us about your journey in love, with love, and everything that has come with it. I'm excited to hear because I feel like there's some things I don't know. But take us from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Yeah, in the beninging.
Beninging. Mm. The year was 1991. Michael Jackson had just sold out some tour somewhere. Michael Jordan was rising up in the ranks, becoming the icon that he is. Mike Tyson was Mike Tyson. He hadn't bit. I don't think he had bit anyone's ear off yet, but I was essentially born around that time, and
I was wondering where this is going.
Yeah, 1991 is the year I was born. Yeah, and I remember like one of the first things I ever wanted to be was just like a Michael, right? Because I was like, all these Michaels are so cool.
Yeah,
right. They're just like on top of the world.
Yeah.
And I would write in my books Kagwe Michael Mungai because I don't have an English name.
Yeah,
only have the two names, and yeah, it was. That's essentially, I guess, where the first thing I ever wanted to be was, right? Shortly after, I really wanted to be in love. You know, I wanted to have a girlfriend.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I just, you know, like, I don't think I ever went through that phase when kids are like, ew, girls.
Cooties.
Yeah. No, I was just like, man, I'm about that. I'm about that. So
that life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I used to like pray when I was like 11, 12, just like, God, please give me a girlfriend. Please. All the cool guys in my class have girlfriends.
Why did you have a girlfriend?
Because I didn't know how to go about it. I didn't know how to talk to girls in like in like primary school.
So you aren't cool?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I was chubby and I looked like a girl.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people would mistake me for a girl all the time, which kind of, you know, makes it a little bit difficult when you're trying to get a girl.
Yeah.
If you look like a girl.
Unless, you had no beard.
I had no facial hair.
Yeah.
I hadn't broken my voice. There was nothing. It was just like, literally people would confuse me for a girl all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I guess throughout like primary school and high school, I had like crushes and things like that. Nothing that I don't think ever like materialized.
Yeah.
And I was in different schools, you know. I was in school in Kenya, so did Riara and then Lusinga, and then we went to South Africa, and there I was in a boys' school for 3 years, so there was no girls.
Yeah.
One of my brother's best friends had a younger sister who I was just like
in love with. Yeah.
And then I went and asked her parents if I can take her on a date.
Oh, cute. And
the mom was like, oh my God, that's so sweet. The dad was like, no.
How old were you?
I was like 11 or 12. Ugh.
Not you wanting to go on a date at 11.
Yeah, I even went and asked permission.
Okay, at least you were nice about it.
We were raised great. Just because we were raised great. But the dad was like, no. And I was like, oh my God, I'll never talk to a girl again.
Yeah.
You know, if this is what it means that I have to talk to their fathers and then the fathers tell me, no, this is not going to work. Yeah. And then I think throughout high school, there was, I think that's when I had like my first encounter, like my first kiss. And I was really obsessed with music, and she came to the music room and was sitting there, and I was playing notes, and she came, she's playing on the piano the other side, and we're playing this like song together. Ding, 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 dee, 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 ding, ding, ding. And she's like doing the other side. And then there was a moment.
Sure, you see movie.
Listen. I think the way it happened in my mind was like a movie, right?
Sounds like a movie.
It was like a movie. But anyway, yeah, we had a moment. I had my first kiss. I was like, wow, this is incredible. And then she started dating another guy, like, who was in my class as well, my friend. Like 2 days later, I was heartbroken. I was like, ah, these girls, never again. So that sort of thing. And then it wasn't until like I went to like uni that I really then, you know, started having the confidence to like talk to girls and talk to women. We would do this thing where we, I was in ISEC. I don't know if you know ISEC. You're in ISEC as well. So for those of you who don't know, ISEC is like one of the world's largest student-run organizations. It's present in so many countries and it's basically an exchange student program. So somehow, I don't know why, but they decided to elect me president of Southampton somehow. I don't know whose bright idea that was. But as part of our job, we had to go and like talk to people, right? And you have to go and constantly pitch and you really don't have that much time, right? And one of the exercises to just get people out of their shell was that we would go to bars, like the student bar. And then their arrangement was everybody needs to go and collect 10 numbers, right? If somebody rejects you, come, we do a quick shot, get back. We motivate you. You got this, right? To kind of just like get, to get rid of the fear of rejection. Right? And I think that's the thing about putting yourself out there is that like there's this fear of rejection. So the idea was to kill that fear of rejection, not just for my team, but for myself as well. And yeah, it helped. And that point I became, okay, so when I, she says no, he says no, you know, it's whatever. They're not rejecting you. You still know who you are. You still have your unit of people that support you. So that for me was like a really valuable lesson early on. And then I started making music. And then, you know, there was ups and downs in that period. I definitely had like a really long single streak as well, where I was dating a lot. And yeah, I jumped apart. The reason why I was taking a while off, right, is I'd gotten into a relationship when I think I was like 23 or 24. And I was head over heels. I think this was the first time I felt like drunk in love. Yeah, just, it's literally just like dopamine hits every single moment. And it was the first time I'd experienced that in that kind of, you know, grandiose. And it lasted like 4 years. You know, it was a four-year relationship. It was
How can you jump this part? This is a very big, significant part for you to jump.
I realized. That's why we came back. So it was, I think, one of my earlier, like, strong relationships. And, it started off great, as they always do. And I think what happened is, along the line of, like, going through the relationship and the ups and downs, I think I kind of lost myself a little bit, you know. And I was really desperate for the relationship to work, even though we both knew it, you know, it had a shelf life. And it wasn't, I can't blame anyone in particular for why it ended, but it was time. I just wasn't ready for it to end, you know. And that definitely had like a big impact on me, on my music, mm-hmm. On my confidence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, you know, like at some point, I think I had imagined my entire life and my entire world with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that was not a reality anymore, you know, that definitely, you know, takes a dent at your confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it took me 5 years to kind of get back to myself, or mm-hmm. at least close to what I was before, an evolved yeah. version
yeah.
of that person, you know.
Yeah.
Kissed a lot of frogs. And yeah, but I mean, grew ultimately yeah. from it.
Yeah. I read, sorry to cut you off. No, I read somewhere that we're not supposed to work on getting back to older versions of ourselves. We're just supposed to work on evolving into newer versions
mm-hmm.
because otherwise you're just regressing, and maybe like after going through this thing,
true.
There's a new you that's mm. supposed to come out of it, but then we're working so hard on being the person we were before.
Yeah
that's
100% true. I think I believe that 100%. Yeah, because you know, we're evolving, we're humans.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
there's this thing of like, even with music, for example, you know, I think I heard Drake say it once, you know, he was like on a talking somewhere
mm-hmm.
and people say, you know, like, oh, you know, when you were making music earlier, I really enjoyed your music. These yeah. days, I feel like you don't.
But on that point,
right,
old Drake was fire.
The reason why old Drake was fire is that it also represents a different time in yeah. your life, right? When things
no.
were a different way.
I feel like I listen to old Drake now and I'm just like,
yeah,
that
because,
was fire.
Because it still has that kind of like nostalgia of a certain time, right? When you,
there's
certain songs or certain music that you hear at a certain point in your life, whether it's fun time music, light, whatever it is,
yeah.
it doesn't have to be like at a real deep moment, right? But
mm-hmm.
if you liked it at a particular point,
mm-hmm.
there's a part of you that will always, whether it's consciously or subconsciously,
yeah.
feel that attachment to that time.
Okay.
Right? And that's mm-hmm. why we go back to old songs that we like,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is not a bad thing.
Okay.
But I think the point that he was trying to make is that like, I can't be that version of myself for you forever, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I have to grow.
I have to evolve.
I'm on my own journey.
Yeah.
And I have to become what I want to
yeah.
become or what I need to become.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are at where you were kissing a lot of frogs for 5 years. That must have been a lot of frogs. 5 years of kissing.
5 years, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then?
And then I, like, just...
In those 5 years, like, what? I mean, other than the kissing of frogs, were you doing any self-work? Were you, you know, because I'm sure leaving that relationship and it ending when you thought it was going to be a forever thing must have impacted you deeply.
Yeah.
So what...
No,
what
I wasn't. I wasn't doing any self work.
Oh,
the only
okay.
kind of like therapy I had was music.
Mm.
Right? That was my only outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's songs over the years that I've released that mm-hmm. have had some sort of, you know, have been inspired by some of the situations.
I'm just smiling because like there's a specific song.
Which one?
No More Mr. Nice Guy. Because you're just like, I'm not a nice guy anymore.
Yeah, I was like, nah, this gentleman thing.
No more.
Let's leave it for those other
you
guys.
Have a whole line saying, no more Mr. Nice
no
Guy.
No more Mr. Nice Guy. We had to change. We had to change. We had to evolve. We had to grow. Because that guy was not cutting it.
Well, me, I like nice guys.
Well.
But anyways, continue.
That's what you got.
Continue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so like Creeper, which is actually my mom's favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell her all the time, like, I was heartbroken. She's
yeah.
like, you should be heartbroken more often. You make good music when you're heartbroken.
Well, it's a fire song, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was Till the End as well with Niniola. Yeah, a few songs. I mean, some of them have also come out from, you know, just feeling in love and like
mm-hmm.
the positivity of it, like
mm-hmm.
African Lady
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. Like very love songs that were inspired by real love.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so no, in that time, that was my outlet.
So you just took the heartbreak, you ran with it, you made music, and you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I remember one time waking up for like, I think weeks, mm-hmm. and I would just wake up crying.
Oh, and, really?
And I couldn't stop it, and I'd play like the hardest trap music. I remember even going on a run, like blasting this trap music in my, it's like doom 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 doom, doom. And I'm running on the road, and tears are just like flying off my face.
Oh, sorry.
And I was like, I can't control it. What is this like nonsense? And I remember I went to my friend's house, and I was just like, bro, I don't understand what's happening to my face. It won't stop leaking. And we just like talked it out, and I'm glad that I have, you know.
It's okay to cry.
It is. It is okay to cry.
Real men cry.
Yeah.
Hashtag real men cry.
And I cried, we talked, you know. He affirmed me and just, you know, was there for me as a friend. And then I just like channeled it back into like music and work and music and work and music and work. And then released Spectrum in 2019, which performed quite well. And I was excited to go on tour because there was all this interest from like international places. And 2020 was the year that we're going to go on tour. And then boom, lockdown, right? And all of my, I guess, sources of income abruptly stopped. Without any kind of way of knowing what was going to happen next. And I went into like a whole... You know, and I think there was a mutual friend of ours that I had gone to a dinner. So we have a group called Taste and See, which is, a group of guys where we just like meet every so often and just like chill, vibe, whatever. And then Thimba being like the coolest pasta in the world.
Shout out to Pasta Thimba.
Just like breaks out into like, you know, into his...
speech
into his sermon, which always just feels like when Thimba is talking to you, just like, but you know God is dope.
It's like, bro, but bro, God is dope.
I mean, you understand. Thimba is so dope. Shout out to Thimba. And I think I remember I coming out of that with the understanding of I had completely stopped like caring for myself, right? And the only thing that I really cared about was work, music, work, music, work, music, work, music. And there was nothing else that mattered. And family, of course. And that was about it, right? And I felt myself becoming just a shell of a person, you know? And after that interaction with Taste and See, I had this like aha moment that was just, I had an epiphany. Shout out. And it was basically that, you know, I have to actively like do the work and learn to re-love myself again before I can even try or attempt to be useful in my work, in my relationships and with other people, right? And so I intentionally took time off dating so that I could do that, so that I could discover who I am now as this new person. And learn from my mistakes. Yes, granted, I was also extremely scared of getting my heart broken. So I kept everything at arm's length. But I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready.
Do you remember what Thimba said that gave you this epiphany? I feel like you've said it to me, but I can't remember.
I can't remember the exact thing, but I think the root of it is that like God is love. Right? And love is essentially connected to everything. Right? And so if you block off a certain part of your heart, then the rest of it starts to close slowly, slowly, slowly. So love for what you do, love for the, you know, your people, love for self, all of it, right? Because for me, I was against it. I was just like, I don't want love, I don't want marriage, I don't want none of it. I'm not interested. Throw it all away. Give the next guy out. It's not for me. And understanding that like love is whole, right? And it comes from God, and it just needs to, you can't do it in sections, right? I think I'm a good compartmentalizer. And I wanted to compartmentalize my heart, and I don't think that that's how it works. You're either open or you're not, you know. And I had to like now learn how to be open again and be honest with myself about some of those elements.
Okay. I guess you can pause there so I can share mine and then
I would love to hear about how your love stories began.
Well, for me, I'm not going to start from when I was born like you. I'll start from when did I start dating? Honestly, I was a bad girl. But I think probably high school, but it was just like silly. It was just, you know, like when you go for funkies, you wouldn't know what that means because, you know, group of schools.
Yours are called discos. Yeah.
Well, ours are called funkies. Uh-huh. Ours sounds a lot better than yours. But yeah, so doing funkies, like I'd meet boys, whatever. And then you'd say you have a boyfriend, but really you see him like twice a year. So do you really have a boyfriend?
And how would you communicate?
Letters. Yeah. So we used to send each other letters. Mm-hmm. And then like getting mail was a thing. Like if you get mail, and then there's like dedics. Oh, you missed out on so much. I feel so sad for you. Anyways, so in the letters at the end, when he's finished telling you whatever he's telling you, this first he does like 2 shout outs for like your friends or like other people he knows in your school. Okay. He's like, say hi to Mary from 4. Say hi to Sujihu from 3S. Those guys. And then now at the end, there was like a dedics part.
Mm-hmm.
So where he'd dedicate like songs for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be like, Love is Wicked. Brick and Lace, dedics. So now those are, that's like your song, or those are like your songs or whatever. I don't know. Anyways, so we'd send each other letters, and then some of them would like spray like their cologne on the letter, so you know, you have like their scent.
It was audio,
not cologne.
Brut
or Axe or like Nivea, something.
Yeah.
But basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we'd communicate. And then when we'd see each other at Funky's, so he gives you like his sweater for you to like, because now it used to have like logos, you know, like school uniform logos.
Yeah.
So you sleep in it. I just remember like sleeping in it. I'm like, yeah, just thinking of my man, who's really not my man, honestly. Like, what are we doing, guys? I think we need to have a collective conversation as 844. But yeah, just basically that. And then, so for me, my mom growing up was very strict. So there was just like, because I'm a girl, like, and she keeps telling me even today, she's like, I worry more about you, even though you're older than your brother, because you're just a girl. Like, I'm just like, is she okay? Because things happen to women more likely than men. So she used to be very strict, and she was just like, no, the only time I'd go out was if I'm going to church.
Mm-hmm.
So I just tell my 2 boyfriends, I'm like, if you want to see me, you come to NPC Karen at this time. That's you pattern up on my tent. That's how I'd see like my 2 boyfriends. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we'd like, we can't do anything because we're in church, right? Uh-huh. So I didn't really like do anything until now after high school. So fast forward uni, I think. No, actually, I had my first proper boyfriend when I was in Form 4. So he was older than me by a year. So he was in his first year of uni. It was a very nice relationship now that I look back at it. Because he used to like come for visiting. Did you have visiting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, at least a shared visiting. Experience.
Yeah.
We used to have visiting days. So he'd come and he'd bring me flowers. Mm-hmm. He'd bring me like chocolates and things, and like I'd be the talk of the school. Like everyone would be like, guy, Uliona, boyfriend Asharon, Yasharon Mangi alimletea chocolate na those things, right? So yeah, it was just he was nice.
Mm-hmm.
He was nice. He was a wannabe artist.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think I've always been attracted to like musicians, artists.
She has a type.
I have a type. And then sadly, he passed away when I was in Form 4. The relationship didn't last long, but it was nice. So now, fast forward, now I'm in uni. And I think I don't even remember. I think immediately I started now dating as an adult, because before I was a child, literally under 18. Mm-hmm. As I started dating as an adult, a lot of it is a blur, because I was, first of all, I have an anxious attachment, meaning that I have codependency issues. I can't be alone. Like, I move from one thing to the other, to the other, to the other, just so that I am not alone. And I would get clingy, I would get needy, and all of these things. So a lot of those relationships were born out of a place of me not wanting to be alone. Not because I was intentional about, I want to be with this person. So there'd be like red flags and things that I'd ignore, because I'm just like, ah, see, at least he does it. So I'd just like be with them for the sake of it. And I would ignore red flags, and I'd just be like, ah, at least he does this. At least he doesn't, you know, like I was getting like bare minimum in a lot of them. And I don't think I was present as a person. I didn't even know who I was in a person. I didn't know what I wanted in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I was just like, yeah, I just don't want to be single.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it definitely came out of a place of just like a low self-worth. A lot of it just came, just me looking for that in other people. And I really wasn't self-aware. I didn't know what I wanted. I was just honestly just going with the flow. I was going with very like physical as opposed to like emotional and inner personality things. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I mean, he's cute. That's it. Like,
yeah.
Period. I don't even care about anything else. I was like, he's cute.
Yeah.
That's it.
Which is, so, I think, what you're supposed to do like in... like in? Earlier on, right? Because you don't know.
No, but like I feel like there are people.
It's part of the discovery.
Or like, no, but then like once I know you're cute, that's fine. But like I need to know other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ignore personality, I would ignore red flags, I'd ignore everything else. Because I'm just like, me, I just don't want to be alone.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, I feel like my friends would try to tell me that like maybe you should just like be alone, maybe just try stay single.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, thank you. Yeah. I'm just gonna go find a new man.
Yeah.
Like immediately, like I'd process the heartbreak. I'm like, okay, cool. Thank next. You. Next.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. So I think that's it. So you can share from where you left off.
Where did I leave off?
I think after now the Thimba thing happened.
Oh,
and then
right.
You took some time to be alone intentionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I took some time to kind of be alone.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was good. I really, cause one, I think I really also enjoy my own company.
Yeah.
Like some people say maybe a bit too much.
A you
bit
know
too
what?
Much.
Like,
but like.
I've met like before this happened, the first time I ever met you, you were seated alone. In a restaurant on a Saturday, just drinking a beer, just enjoying yourself. And the second time
it's
I met you.
Master dating, by the way.
Master dating,
you
okay.
Take yourself on a date.
And the second time, not the second time, but one of the earlier times I met you years ago, again, you were just like in a club alone on the dance floor, just having the time of your life.
Yeah. I am the coolest person in every room I walk
like
into.
No, but that's like an admirable thing, which was completely the opposite of me.
Mm.
Yeah, because that being alone, I wasn't able to do that at all.
I honestly, I'm not even sure when it began.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely, I think, a really, really, I guess, impactful period for me to like learn how to be alone, right? And actually then enjoy it. You know, and look forward to it.
Yeah.
And then I think also with career and everything, when I started like joining Taurus and there was all of these different activities, there's always people like at the house, there's people where you're going for the show, there's like every day you have to move with people, right? So actually finding that time to be on your own was rare. And I'm glad I finally got a chance to do it. COVID really helped that everybody had to be by themselves in the house. I think it was great. And then, you know, things started to open up a little bit more. And yeah, I've started doing a few more things, activities with like the company as well, doing events here and there. At one of these events, I met a babe. I was like, whoa, dope, cool, mm-hmm. vibes entered, obviously. I mean, come on.
I don't know why I'm smiling. It's not me he's talking about.
Yeah, I met a babe at an event and again, just sparks are flying. Mm-hmm. It was really just intoxicating as well. And I was like, oh, dope, you know. And I think that for me was always the thing that I was looking for, like the
intoxicating,
the high of it, right? Yeah. And so took my time a little bit, you know. I didn't like jump straight into it. I took my time. Mm-hmm. It's important for all of the men watching this thing. I was told this is the camera I talk to seriously. Interview these women, okay? That's what dating is. Dating is a series of interviews, right? Yes, obviously, treat them as the queens that they are because they are, right? But there's kings here, yeah? There's kings here. So you have to interview for your queen. And I think at that point, right, I don't know if I necessarily knew specifically what I was looking for, right, in a relationship. I just knew that I had been out of the game for a while and I was ready to try again, you know. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be with somebody that I felt like really comfortable around. Mm-hmm. And I felt comfortable around this person, like scarily comfortable, you know, just like in day one.
Yeah.
But still took my time to interview because it is important. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how you interview and how much you interview, you can't really fully know a person because that's what dating is, right? Yeah. Everyone is presenting the best versions of themselves, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's performative or it's presentary, but it's a very normal thing that people do, right? Mm-hmm. You don't go day one and just be like, so here's my baggage, right? Unfortunately, it didn't work out, or fortunately, whichever way.
It's like unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, one, for the person, right? Because they lost this. But fortunate, you know, for us, obviously, you know. For every...
Okay.
What is it called? Yeah, I don't know. There's a thing about, like, rejection. And it being redirection, right? So that's the way I look at rejection. Is that like it's not no, it's just like look the other side. And I was redirected to some green pastures. Hence why I'm wearing green today, because the grass is greener over here.
The corniness.
I think post that relationship, one of the things that I think I was also a lot more aware of was myself and just like how to maneuver this thing and heartbreak a little bit more, less chaotically, right? Mm-hmm. Because for most guys, right, I don't think it's the same for most babes, but you can tell me. Mm-hmm. But for most guys, you're in heartbreak, it's just like, all right, bro, get dressed. Get you some liquor in you. We're going to paint the town red and meet as many babes so that we can get your mind off of this one babe.
As we just cry.
Yeah.
We sit in the house, we cry, we call him 20 times.
Yeah.
And then imagine when we're done, we're done.
Yeah.
But at that point, usually now that's when now the guy is done like being in like in the streets and then he's just like, I miss my babe. But as we're done by then,
Because then, you know, after a while, it feels empty.
Yeah.
You know, like you can really just like go around and do all of these crazy things, but it's empty. You know, it doesn't feed you. There's a thing that I don't know if you know about, but this, I think it's a popular concept. It's called post-nut clarity, right? It's just generally where... It's talked about that guys, you know, generally feel like awful after like a sexual encounter or something. Mm-hmm. And I think that largely comes from the emptiness of it, right? Mm. It's just that you just feel like, ugh.
Why am I even doing this? That for? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So I think I also got really tired of those kind of encounters. And I didn't really want that for my life anymore. Mm. Yeah, and then things started to kind of solidify over here.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want me to talk about how this began and?
Mm.
Or what do you...
I guess I can share a bit before uh-huh. we get there.
Uh-huh.
How did we get here? Honestly. Okay, I think for me, I went through a very... Again, just like you, very intoxicating relationship. But as intoxicating as it was also very unhealthy and very toxic. And then I think just the essence of that relationship, I think it was sent to me, or God allowed for it to happen, because he needed to show me things about myself that I had gone years by ignoring. Right, because I was just like ignoring, I was just like putting a new relationship over all of my wounds, so I'm distracted, so I'm not actually like doing the work. So after this relationship, I was like, you know what, I have some things I need to work on. And you know, I got into therapy. It was also just coinciding with some other things I was going through, and I was like, yeah, I need to fix some things. I think that's when I also realized that, yeah, I have like a lot of self-worth issues that I need to work on. I need to decide who I am as a person moving forward. I can't let relationships define me anymore. I think that also made me know what I don't want in a relationship, because I think that's a good place to start. If you don't know what you want, you can start with knowing what you don't want.
True.
Yeah. So I started, that made me be like, okay, I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want that. And then that helped me realize, okay, this is what I want. So it was also just...
Wait, sorry. What did you realize that you didn't want? And then what did you realize that you wanted?
I'm getting there. Okay. What I realized that I don't want is, which is like a scripture that I found when I was now like healing from that, it's in Ephesians. And you know, when you go to Rorashios and they're always quoting that scripture for us, wives, submit to your husbands, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Just apo juu ama ni apo chini, either before or after that verse, mm-hmm. there's instruction for men and how men should treat their wives. And basically it says that you should love your wife as you love yourself
mm-hmm.
and as Christ loved the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it just dawned on me that if I am with a man who doesn't love himself, mm-hmm. he's not going to be able to love me.
Facts.
Those snaps. He's not going to be able to love me, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that made me realize, okay, moving forward, I can only be with a man who loves himself. And I can tell if he loves himself in the way, one, he treats himself, in his routine, in the way he talks about himself, in the way he carries himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because how can you give someone something that you don't give yourself?
Mm-hmm.
How is he going to know how to love me when he doesn't love himself,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
And just the fact that I found that in the Bible, I was like, mind blown.
Yeah.
So that was like the bare minimum for me. I was like, this is like the basic kabisa. And you know, just habits also show if you love yourself. Like, are you, you know, how is your house, how is your hygiene, are you always drunk, like mm-hmm. in the middle of the week, are you always, you know what I mean, like mm-hmm. it's just like, how do you treat yourself, because
mm-hmm.
that's going to show me how you're gonna treat me,
right.
So, and I think that should have been a clear indicator with this person that I was in this relationship with, because, you know, he was very self-critical of himself and all of these things, which, you know, also went down to me as well. So that was just what I didn't want.
Also, I think it might be good to just like distinguish between, you know, loving yourself and then there's just like... also obsessed with yourself, because there are those people as well.
Yeah, that's
right?
True. Yeah.
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 Because you may have wanted a guy that was like loves himself, but then could have
it's
been
like
the
obsessive.
Extreme,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's true. That's a good point. But yeah, so basically yeah, I went through that healing phase, and then I just also intentionally took time to be alone because I had never done that before. I didn't even know what that looked like.
What was that like?
Oh, it was hard.
Yeah.
It was so hard. I was like, how are people single for 5 years? Yeah. This is like 2-3 months into it, I was itching.
Yeah.
I was just like, I need to
somebody.
Anybody. But then I was just like, I need to break this cycle. I can't continue like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was intentionally single. I wasn't going on dates. I wasn't talking to any men. Sometimes I'd get bored like and lonely. So like I'd entertain for like a day, then I'm like, I'm bored. Bye. Wow. Yeah.
Don't be that guy. This is another important point. Don't be the guy that's just there to the loose number that's being called for entertainment. Huh?
No, Kings. Just like remember. small flirting. And remember. I'm like, bored, whatever, bye. Yeah, and then, so you happened around the time when I was like, okay, I've done like almost over a year of being alone. And now I wanna see what's up, like out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, it's your turn now.
Okay.
What's your POV?
Of
this, like, yeah, from where I've left off.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, you know, we've known each other, not in a very, like, deep or even real way for many years.
Yeah.
Kept bumping into me when I was by myself
in
different scenarios.
Yeah.
We'd hang out a couple of times with other people, but never really just like
alone.
Had a one-on-one conversation. And then like went to a party once and met you there.
Yeah.
And I was like, this baby's looking kind of cute. Let's go say what's up. Let's go say what's up. And we talked. For a while.
Yeah. I remember really laughing that day.
Yeah.
I was just like, is he actually that funny? Or like, why am I laughing so much?
Yes. Yes, he is. He's hilarious. He's hilarious.
Whatever.
He gets more hilarious by the day, by the way.
Whatever.
And then I guess we didn't see each other for a while after that.
Because
we also both got into like situations. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, you got into a relationship with someone else and I did.
Yeah.
But you also ghosted me.
What?
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 What? You did.
I mean it wasn't necessarily ghosting. It was a version of ghosting, but it wasn't ghosting. It was like
okay.
Anyways. Yeah. It was focused. It was focused. It should just show you that when I'm focused on a person. That, like, my focus does not.
Yeah. No, I think we just both decided to focus on like what the situations we had.
Yeah. And then I guess some more months went by, and I think it was maybe even a year plus. And then we were both in a place where we were single.
Yeah.
And we started talking a bit more.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I even when I talk to like my friends about it or my family about you, I always say this is the healthiest start to a relationship that I've ever had. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like we've been really intentional and really sober throughout it all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, I pulled out the stops, guys. You know, you have to make sure that if you're going to romance these ladies, you have to bring romance. And not this romance, you know, there's like a romance of Central Kenya that is not that great. So you have to go west, you know, bring the true romance.
The sauce.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
But do I say, yeah.
Mm. You did bring the sauce.
I did. I mean, you see me here, I won.
Oh my God, I can't.
And I think it was, and it's been and continues to be a really healthy exchange.
Yeah.
I think we also shared a lot of experiences in our past that, you know, I think also helped us bond.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I'm really glad that we did that I didn't do in my previous kind of situations was we took time, right, to actually get to know each other.
Yeah.
And and figure out if we want to be together and how together looks and works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We had a very long talking stage. That's what he's trying to say. Which is good, though. I think people really hate on talking stages, but I think it's important for you to take time without actually committing yet to this person to just be like, okay, do I actually want to be with this person? Do I actually like them?
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes we get like obsessed with me. I just want to get married. I want to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. But then like you ignore things, which is what like I was doing in the past. Yeah. So,
or even just the idea of a person.
Oh, the idea of the person. Yeah.
So it's not them you're in love with. You're in love with this idea of the person that you've built them up to be in your mind.
Yeah.
And obviously that can only end up in premium tiers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I do agree. I like that we took time to just be like, okay, is this what I actually want to do? Do I actually like this person? What are things I don't like about them? And like, am I willing to stay with this person regardless of these things?
I think, and to also add on to that, I wanted to be intentional in like the next relationship that I got into, and I remember hearing in somewhere, I think it was like some interview that Viola Davis did, and you hear it all the time, especially ladies. So I think it's very, you guys are very good at this, right? You'd like write down your goals and you write down blah blah blah, and I'm good at that with like business things and like my goals for the future, but I'd never done it for like love, right? And you know, I wrote down specific things that like I was looking for in a partner, you know, partnership being like number one. You know, you have to be a team, right? Not necessarily jump and mold into each other and just become like a full person, right? But understand who your teammate is, understand how you can support them in various different ways, and be there for them without necessarily losing yourself or compromising your values, you know? So I wanted a partner. I wanted somebody who had a strong belief system. To be honest, I wasn't very
specific
about what that belief system is, as long as like you believe in something, you know. I think that's important for me. And it,
you got a saved baddie.
Yes, I did.
Period.
Yes, I did. The baddest. Yeah, obviously she has to be Lang, for
Lang.
Lang,
who
says
Lang?
Lang. Or do you want me to talk to the older generation?
Gen Z.
Peng. Peng. So for the older generation, we don't say Peng anymore. It's Lang. So
wanna be Gen Z.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have the Lang was definitely at the top, quite higher up there. Because you know, I'm a
Don't.
Come on. Come on now. Can't be walking in these streets and then somebody's making me look bad. What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm glad I got the most beautiful one.
Was that all that was on your list?
That I can remember right now off the top of my head. There was a few things. It wasn't a very long list, to be honest.
Okay.
Did you ever write a list of like what you were looking for?
I'm sure if I check in my journal somewhere, I do.
Mm-hmm.
But what I remember I was very intentional about was when I had healed from like my old situations, I really just went into like a time of deep prayer with God and for my next relationship and my marriage and my kids and all of these things. Like I don't know who my kids are gonna be. I don't know anything, right? Only God knows. But I was like, I started intentionally praying for the next person that I was going to be with. I didn't know who it was going to be, but I was very specific about it. I was like praying for him, praying for his business, praying for his career. I was just like praying for his protection. I hadn't even nothing. I had no visual, nothing. But what I remember I was very specific about was that I told God I really, really want a healthy, happy relationship. One, that was like top for me, because I had been in so many unhealthy situations and I knew it was going to bring me, pull me backwards if I was going to enter into another unhealthy, toxic situation.
Yeah.
And then two, just really prayed for someone who's going to take care of me, because I, you know, recovering people pleaser. So I'm just like the one who's always bending over backwards for people. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm a firstborn. So it's just like innate, and I'm a firstborn daughter. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, yeah, I'm always like taking care of people and fixing things and doing this for other people. And I was like, you know what, God, like I need a break. I need someone to come in and take care of me as well. And then I also just prayed for ease, because I feel like I went through some really hard things relationship-wise. And I was like, no more hardships. Yeah. God, please, no more hardships. I just want ease. Like, mm-hmm. I just desire ease. And I got 3/3 with you. 3/3. And I think especially, like, the second one for me was so big for me, because, like, in my previous situations, I was the one doing like a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And like you came in, and I remember even in the beginning, we used to struggle with me wanting to do things, and you're like, Sue, just chill.
Mm-hmm.
Sue, just let me, like, Sue, just sit down and be a princess.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah, she's trying to pay for the bill. I'm like, why is your wallet even here?
Because like men out here were making me split bills and things, and
those things don't happen. No, not on my watch, never.
Yeah, but like just so many instances, even just out aside from paying the bill and stuff, where, you know, I'd just be like, I'm just so used to, like, I think I was definitely in my masculine energy. I was just like, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that, and you're just like, sit down and just like relax.
Yeah.
Let me take care of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I didn't even say thanks. I already said you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Anyways, so at the end of the episodes, we usually share our best kept secrets.
Wait, before we go to the best kept secrets.
See, we're done.
We need to establish
what
does love have to do with it?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Go first. You're our guest.
It's got everything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. It's got everything to do with it. Self-love.
Mm-hmm.
Means that if you're doing it like in a clear, in a healthy way,
mm-hmm.
means that you can love others in a wholesome way.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I don't ever want, and I'm sure I am just like out of just the way life works, but I don't want to be the source of somebody's trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that was always a thing for me that like I was really worried about before.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can control it, you can, and where you can't, right? But love's got everything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Yes.
Lol.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree definitely, and I think just what you said earlier about God being love, I feel like that's the essence of a lot of things, right? So it's just what you're saying, it's the self-love, it's you know, even our careers and our businesses and the things we do are driven by, yeah, I love this thing. I enjoy doing this thing. Our children, our, you know, all of these things are driven by love. So love has everything to do with it. It encompasses a lot of, like, a multitude of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I am just honored, which is something you said to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm gonna say, right?
Yeah, tell them what I told
no,
you.
No, I'm not gonna say
Come
it.
Come on,
bye.
Now you set it up. You can't, like, take it away.
Anyways.
I'll be humble. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not the ear talk. I am honored to experience being loved by you, because it's, you know, what I've always prayed for, what I've always asked God for. And even if I don't know, I mean, we pray that we do, but even if we don't get married and have kids and all of these things, then I'm still going to be grateful that I got to experience this. Yeah. I think it just really changed a lot of things for me and how I viewed love,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that I am actually able to receive the love that I've always wanted. Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, thanks.
I think you're right in that sense. I had a really good point I was going to, Mini, and then I looked into your eyes and I got lost.
Can you be serious?
In a maze of your beauty.
Remember your point.
You are my point. Ever since I saw you trying to climb that wall.
Remember the point.
I think it was just generally around you can be alone and you can have love, right?
Yeah.
I think that's an important thing to also know. I went on a solo trip sometime last year,
yeah,
which is the first time I've ever done it. And it was like an incredible reflective period for myself to be able to just understand who I am now, where I want to be, and to kind of like set those goals for myself.
Yeah.
So in trying to be good with time and wrap up, I would say my best kept secret.
Was that what you were going to say? I feel like this solo trip story has not ended.
It has.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
But mm-hmm. I'm building into it.
Okay, sorry.
So, mm-hmm. if I was rudely interrupted, my best kept secret, mm-hmm. I think, about love is I don't know if for men we're taught to like aspire to love or aspire mm-hmm. to marriage or that mm-hmm. sort of thing, you know. I think you're told what's glorified is what we see on TV and on mm-hmm. in music and things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that we should aspire to.
Yeah. Right?
Because again, love is everything. It's got everything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So love for self, love for work, love for people, love for your person.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time. That was the point I was going to talk about. Yes. So there was a time when people, I'd talked to this guy and, you know, I'd just got into a relationship at the time. And he said, oh, you're in love now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but your music is going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, artists only create when they are tortured. Have you heard that before? Yeah. Like mm-hmm. The more tortured you are and the more hurt you are in the yeah. darkest places, that's when you like really have, you know, great art. And it's true to a large extent, you know, whether you're talking about like Black America with the slave trade, West Africa, blah, 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 Southern Africa, there's a lot of like really beautiful art that comes out of struggle.
Yeah.
And so this guy was telling me that, oh my God, now you're just going to make like really sucky music.
Yeah.
And I want to assure you that is not the case. There is some really, really dope music coming up in this album.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was written while I was still in my single phase. But there's some songs in there that like, I think really capture the essence of love. There's a song called Bestie, which is essentially about, you know, that person that you've kind of always wanted to have this relationship with, and you finally, you know, have the guts to go for it. So I feel like I've jumbled two points in one. In summary, my best kept secret about love
mm-hmm.
and what love has to do with everything
mm-hmm.
is be intentional,
mm-hmm.
right? Be intentional, write it down, be intentional as you are with like work or deadlines or that sort of thing, because I think it's equally as important. I read once that the person that you are partnered with is as important as like your career decision.
Yeah.
Right. It's like right on par who you end up having as your spouse is as important as like your career or for your career.
Yeah.
So I think it should be treated as such. And yeah.
Great. Thanks.
What's your best kept secret?
I was trying to think about it as you were talking and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I think, honestly, guys, I'm just going to keep it pretty simple. Usually I go in with like deep, like things, but honestly, my best kept secret is just like to pray about it. And I feel like I'm always telling this to my friends, like when they come to me with like dilemmas or things in their relationship, their romantic relationships, even friendships, whatever. I'm just like, have you talked to God about it? Have you prayed about it? And if you're going to seek guidance from God about everything, why not do it about, you know, your relationship, about love, about the person that you are going to potentially spend the rest of your life with. And God honors prayers, right? He honors you know, praying about this situation or praying for the partner you want or praying, requesting for whatever it is you're requesting. And he's always going to redirect you if you're not in the right situation. And he's always going to direct you to whichever situation would be better for you. So yeah, just honestly, that's my best kept secret. That's how I do my thing.
And also praying with your person, I think, is also very dope.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about church sometimes and where two or three are gathered. Right?
Yeah.
And I think if you're a unit and you're aligning your goals and you're taking them before God, you know, I think that just really gives you the best odds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I agree. That's the cheat code, guys. That's it. Yeah.
Mungu peke.
Hashtag Mungu peke. Okay, I think that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you, Kagwe, for being here and for sharing.
Thank you, baby, for having me. Jeez.
Thank you, Kagwe, for being here and for sharing your journey in love with us and your best kept secret about love. So check out his album when it drops, June 23rd. I don't know if this episode is gonna come before or after, but yeah, check it out. And I'll see you guys, or you'll hear me, in the next episode. Thank you so much for watching or listening. Bye.
Bye. Bye.